probably know me best as the improvisational piano player on Whose Line Is It Anyway? And you're listening to Cloverleaf Radio.
Alrighty, we are back for another exciting edition of Cloverleaf Radio. I'm the host of the most, Jimmy Falcon. It's an absolute honor to welcome back Steve Bluestein. How are you, Steve?
Fine, how are you?
I'm good. It's only been about 10 years. What you been up to?
let's see. On Friday, I went, and then on Saturday, do you want all 10 years?
Well, I usually try to start, like, basically just ask how you got through COVID, because that was one thing that kind of united us all in a weird way.
Well, the strange thing was I moved into my new house 2 months before COVID hit.
Oh, no.
And once COVID hit, I was stuck in this new house, and I had a million projects. So, you know, because I'm a handy Jew, so I can do a lot of carpentry and stuff. So I was working on the house for almost a year, and that was the first year. The second year, I just sort of sat around with twiddling my thumbs. But I made it okay. I made it. You know, and I have a talk show on the YouTube network called Let Me Say This About That. And nice. That kept me busy, you know, researching, because I could do it all from the house, researching information on the guests and booking new guests. And we've done so far 61 shows.
Awesome.
Yeah. I had Donna Pascal and Mimi Kennedy was last week. And Agent 99 from Get Smart. And do you know who that is?
I get the reference. I didn't understand the name. I'm a lot of times I get like, I'll understand some people's names and then the references I'll understand.
Oh, yeah, she was brilliant. And Peter Marshall, you know, we've got, you know, I'm only interviewing friends.
That's nice. That's a good idea.
I'm going through my address book and picking up friends. And the two celebrities who were not friends both flaked on the day of the show. So we're only doing friends.
Yeah. That could have been the other name of it. We're only doing. It kind of sounds like a porno, but it would definitely draw the people in.
No, it's called Let Me Say, and all the episodes are available on YouTube. If you put Let Me Say This About That into the search engine, it comes, you can listen to the shows. We get about between 7,000 and 13,000 views a show. So people are looking at it.
That's very awesome. Well, I read that you, I don't know what this was, maybe when the comedy bug bit you, but you went to see a show at the legendary Bud Friedman's Improv and ended up becoming a Comedy Store regular. That's not a lot of thing people can always say.
Well, that's not quite right. In 1968, I went to the Improv in New York because I had seen the Ace Trucking Company on The Tonight Show, and they mentioned that they would be at a club called The Improv. So I went over and I saw it, and that was the first time I saw a club that was doing comedy. However, I was an assistant buyer in Alexander's department store, so I had nothing to do with comedy. Then I left New York and I came to Los Angeles, where I was an assistant buyer at the May Company. Mm-hmm. And I hated it, but I lived in an apartment building that Dave Madden lived in, and Dave was Reuben on the Partridge Family. And you know, I'd be sitting around the pool and I'd be funny, I'd be making people laugh, and Dave Madden said, you know, you could do this professionally. And there's this place called the Comedy Store that just opened up. and you should check it out. And the very next night, Dave Madden and Albert Hammond, who was also living in the apartment, took me to the Comedy Store. And I sat in the audience and I said, I could do that. I went back about a week later, and my first time up on stage, Sammy Shore came up to me and said, you keep coming back. Wow. He said, you've got something. And that's how I started. That's how I became one of the regulars at the Comedy Store.
That is so cool. And since you kind of said there was truth and not truth to the question, I saw you appeared on the Jim Neighbor Show and the Mike Douglas Show.
I did. You know, when I started working, I was signed to ICM, which was a huge agency. And they, you know, I did all the talk shows. I did all the talk shows in the United States and in Canada. Wow. And I was always, you know, I was always working. I was on the road for a good 25 years until I just couldn't do it anymore. I was exhausting every week on an airplane going someplace and, you know, never know where you're staying or who you're going to be working with. And there was a funny story. My agents called and said, we have 2 weeks for you in Atlantic City. And I said, okay, what's the money? And they told me, I said, okay, what time are the shows? And they said, 3 and 5. Uh-huh. I said, in the morning? They said, no, in the afternoon. I said, oh, God, the 3 o'clock show, those are those bus tours from New York City. It's all old ladies, and that's not my crowd. And he said, look, if you don't take this gig, we're not going to represent you anymore. And I said, thank you. Thank you for finally giving me an excuse to get off the road. And that's what happened. And I took a year off. Mm-hmm. And then Mary Willard, who was married to Fred Willard, called me one night and said, what are you doing? And she said, you ought to go to Carol Moore's writing workshop. Okay. And I said, what a great idea. And I went to the workshop, and that's where I developed my skills as a playwright. Now, I had already been working in television as a TV writer. I wrote sitcoms and variety, but I had never tried plays. And and from that workshop, I wrote 7 or 8 plays. And in my career, it took a whole different, course.
Oh, I bet. My goodness. Like comedy, plays, writing, traveling. Da 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 da.
Yeah, really.
Well, I asked that because those are, I feel like, two guys, especially Jim Neighbors with the more like the comedy and stuff, but both very hosty, like legendary hosts, I should say. And, Jim Neighbors was hilarious with Gomer Allen. What was it like appearing on those shows?
Well, you know, it was always nerve-wracking for me because there's a lot of pressure, and I was trained in nightclubs, so I'm very comfortable in front of a live audience. But when you're doing television, mm-hmm. you're standing on a stage. Between you and the audience are the crew and the cameras and the lights. It's a whole different kind of work. And I was nervous wreck. I remember working on the Mike Douglas Show and was so nervous that the talent coordinator had to hold me up because my knees were starting to buckle.
Oh.
And she pushed me through the curtain. And as soon as I went through the curtain, yeah. I was fine.
Yeah, right.
You know, something, you know, it's do or die. So, but you do that enough and you have a heart attack. So
thank you very much.
Well, you know, specifically, Jim was a very nice man and mm-hmm. was very kind to me on the show.
That's great.
As was Mike Douglas.
Wow.
Mike was, I think I did the Mike Douglas Show a couple of times flew into Philadelphia.
Yeah, it says, at least, you know, I always look to IMDb, but it's not always current or not always true.
Right,
but it says
right.
Two episodes, 78 and 80, and Jim Neighbors says 78. So it was the same year, same years.
Yeah,
I did see the Make Me Laugh clip on your website, and I don't know if you were scared there, but it was hilarious. I don't think I'd ever seen you do stand-up. Perfect.
I wasn't scared at all, because I was with Gary Shandling and Gallagher.
Oh, goodness.
Both of them, my friends, and both of them mm-hmm. gone now.
Yeah, unfortunately.
And I knew I had to do something. And I had been a founding member of the Groundling Theater.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow.
And I had learned all these improvisational techniques. So when that woman came out and started doing the Lamaze method, I did what's called a transformation. I transformed what she was doing into what I wanted to do. And it was just hilarious. And the guys picked up on it and jumped in, and it was the most popular episode of Make Me Laugh.
Wow. That's great.
Yeah. They used that episode to sell the series when it came back. And when it came back, I couldn't get on.
Oh, no.
I said, you're using my tape to sell the show, but you won't have me. Yeah, we want new faces.
Oh,
yeah, because by that time I'd already been working a long time. There's no rhyme or reason to show business. It's all crazy, crazy.
Yeah, I'm sure. I mean, I grew up on a farm, lived on a farm my whole life. So in theory, I always wanted to be famous. But getting a taste of it, getting to meet famous people and doing this is my taste enough. Like, I could understand.
Yeah.
But there's
go ahead. The thing that you have to learn, that I learned very early on, is that the image that a performer puts out on stage is nothing like the person about 95% of the time. Sometimes you will get the real person, like Donna Pascal is exactly the person on stage as she is off stage. In other words, she's genuine and caring, and she's a wonderful human being. Jackie Joseph,
yes.
Same thing. Just a really nice, Jay Johnson, the ventriloquist, just a wonderful guy. But, you know, but most of them are nothing like their image. I was talking to Mimi Kennedy yesterday, and I was telling her about my adventures with Yvonne DiCarlo.
Okay.
I had been flown up to Canada to do a talk show, and I was sitting in first class next to Yvonne DiCarlo. She never said a word to me. She was writing on a yellow pad, and out of the corner of my eye, I could tell she was writing her memoir. We got off the plane, we went to the limo, and she stepped in, and I stepped in, and she said, no, this is limos for me. And I said, and the driver said, no, Mr. Carlo, it's for both of you.
Oh,
and
wow.
So we both sat in the car next to each other in silence.
Oh.
You know, we went to the green room. She never said a word to me.
Oh, no.
We got on camera. I did my set. I came over to the couch. Was effervescent over what a funny man, and he's so cute, and above, I know, on and on and on, okay?
Yeah.
Cameras, we go to commercial, she says nothing.
Ugh.
Going back to the airport in the limo, nothing. On the plane, nothing. We're standing on the curb at LAX, waiting for the limos to pick us up. She turns to me and says, it was nice working with you.
You too, Yvonne.
I mean, and that to me is the quintessential story of show business.
Oh my God. That sounds like a Joan Crawford-y thing almost. Like, posh.
She was old Hollywood.
Yeah.
She was, you know, studio system Hollywood. I was just this new kid, you know, and
right.
In terms of her experience, I hadn't earned what she had earned. You know, she's probably right, but...
But you're still here. You're still going. So, I mean, was she? In partial ways, yeah, I guess, but...
I don't know. I always figure, I'm a human being, you're a human being. At least we can do is be nice to each other.
Butch Patrick a few times. Met him twice in person. One of the nicest guys ever. And I grew up watching the Munsters just like anybody because of the great reruns, so...
Yeah, yeah.
But, I was going to mention just... You mentioned the Groundlings, and there's so many legends. I always think of, like, Phil Hartman, Paul Rubens, Will Ferrell. But, I mean, I looked up, and there's, like, 20-plus more. John Lovitz!
Yeah, and Kristen Wiig, and...
Oh, yeah.
Melissa McCarthy, and Elvira, and Pee Wee Herman. And, I mean, they all came out of the Groundlings. Lorraine Newman, half the people on Saturday Night Live are from the Groundlings. And again, I was, because I was in the ground floor at the Comedy Store, Gary Austin was one of the four members of the Comedy Store Players. Gary started the Groundlings in a workshop. I was in that workshop. So everything I learned from Gary.
Wow. And before we move to something else, because I don't want to take too much of your time today, stick to work with Andy Kaufman ever?
I never worked on stage with Andy, but I was with him. I think we did a couple of television shows together.
Okay.
And of course, we always crossed in the clubs.
Yeah.
We always saw each other in the clubs. And I wasn't a friend of Andy, but I was, he certainly knew me and I certainly knew him.
Yeah, I mean, I've always kind of like, I can't think of the word right now, but like, I felt like me and him were kind of built from the same mold. Very on it,
yeah.
On stage, you know what, we can be weird, we can be crazy, we can be goofy, make them laugh, make them cry, whatever, but like, you get reserved when you get in public, around regular people, and you can't turn that on, because that's not what society wants you to do. Or whatnot, you know, but I adore Andy Kaufman.
Yeah, Andy was, I remember the morning I got the LA Times and was having my cup of coffee, opened the Times, and the headline and the front page said Andy Kaufman passed away.
Oh, yeah.
I just fell over. I just fell over onto the table. You know, no, how could that be? He was so young.
Yes.
The older I get, the more friends I lose.
That's true. That's the sad part. You get to see so much growing up, but you also lose so much.
Oh, yeah. I think about 6 months ago, or maybe 4 months ago it was, I lost 5 friends in 1 week.
Ugh.
You know, including Cindy Williams, who was a dear friend. We were in an acting class together. We were in Howard Stern's acting class, not the Groundlings. But she was something special. She really was.
That's awesome. So where can people find... Are you still doing... You're taking a Blue Streak Stain... I can't even figure this out. With the pop-up thing, Stein Streak Stain... Are you still doing your Talking a Blue Stein podcast?
No. You know, I'm doing the talk show, the video talk show instead. The podcast became a book called Memoir of a Nobody. And it's still selling. I'm still getting phone calls from people saying it's the funniest thing they've ever read, you know. And there's so many podcasts out now. I just lost interest in doing that. So I switched over to writing books. I have 3 books out: Memoir of a Nobody, Take My Prostate Please, and Point of Pines. two comedies, and one, the last one's a very serious book about a time period in my life. And and my talk show, and that's all I do, really. I'm basically retired, you know.
That's got to be fun.
Well, it is, but it's also very boring. So I have to do something to keep me, you know, active.
Understandable. I mean, it's, you still have the brain power, and I mean, you know, your comedy and writing stuff is, would work so well for so much that I think you definitely still have it in you. And if you, you know, choose to do that, or you could just relax around the couch eating Cheetos in your underwear, I guess.
Well, I happen to be in my underwear right now, but I'm not eating Cheetos because I'm sort of a health nut. I you know, when I was a child, I was a fat kid, and like Tweedly D, you know, that kind of fat, and Tweedly D from Alice in Wonderland.
Okay.
And in my head, I'm still that fat kid, even though I've been the same weight now for about 30 years. It's just something that you're cursed with. So yeah. I eat only healthy stuff. And the result being, my arteries are clean as a whistle, says my heart doctor.
Well, that's good to hear, Steve. I'm glad you're taking care of yourself. Hopefully the next time we talk, it won't be a decade. And hopefully we won't go through another pandemic or some dumb thing like that.
Yeah, really.
Where can people find you if they want to look up your work or your stand-up? Or
well, my website is stevebluestein.biz, B-I-Z. And the books are on Amazon, and the talk show, Let Me Say This About That, is on YouTube. So I'm out there. You just got to find me.
Well, thank you so much for taking the Saturday and joining me today. I mean, I know you're retired, but I'm sure you still keep busy.
Oh, yeah, I am. It was my pleasure. You know, we had, you know, when you first contacted me.
Oh, yeah, I was going to bring that up. Go ahead, though.
I was suspicious because I have been, I have a stalker.
Uh-oh.
Who sends false inquiries. Are you available for a talk show? Are you available to do a variety show? Can you, you've just won the blog award.
Yeah, he told
me
that.
Can you do an interview? We'd like to interview you for the LA Times. All these letters came to my house. None of them were real. And so there's someone out there that gets their rocks off sending me this stuff, thinking that it, you know, I'll be disappointed. I'm not. I just think this person is sick. But what it has done,
they're bored.
When someone calls and says, "Would you like to do an interview?" I go, "Oh yeah. Well, who are you? Yeah, who are you? Tell me." Like someone on Facebook will ask me a question, and before I answer the question, I'll say, "How do I know you?" And if they know me, they'll say, "Well, we went to college together," and, you know, blah blah blah. If they don't know me, then they say, "Well, why do you ask?" Well, just tell me how you know me. Why are we friends? And if they can't, I block them.
Okay.
Because there's so many scams out there.
Right. Oh, I mean, I've been there before. It just threw me off because I just woke up from a nap. I'm like, this is random as hell. Like, why is Steve saying this?
Yeah, I know. I because one of the red flags for me is if I ask a question and then there's no response.
Mm-hmm.
And I asked a question of you and there was no response. I didn't know you were sleeping. I thought you might be one of these guys who is scamming.
Ooh, hell no.
So, but we resolved it. So, definitely. And I'm here, so there's nothing to worry about.
Not at all. Well, I appreciate you joining me, and, you know, best of luck with retirement and anything that comes your way, friend.
Oh, well, thank you very much. I hope everyone will tune into my show. Let me say this about that. Okay, take it easy.
All righty. Talk to you next time.
All right. Bye-bye. Thanks so much.
Alrighty, guys. Big thanks to Steve Bluestein. Gosh darn, I keep messing it up. Steinstein. We don't have any shows scheduled coming up. Well, we do, but I don't have the list in front of me. So we will see you when we see you. Thank you, everybody, for listening. Have a great night.